Welcome to Shaylee and Katie, the podcast. We're two work-from-home entrepreneurs who are laughing their way through life, parenthood, and owning creative businesses.
I'm Katie Day, a photographer, comedy writer, and performer, and mom of four.
And I'm Shaylee Murphy, a video producer, interior designer, and mom of one. Hey moms, it's Shaylee, and I want to talk a little bit about PrepDish. It is a meal planning service, and every week you'll get an email in your inbox. It has a grocery list, prep ahead instructions, and all of your meals will be ready for the week with no guesswork needed. You still have to do a little bit of work. Basically, you pick one day. I usually like picking the weekends or on a Monday, and you do all of the prep work. It's the chopping, the cutting. You can go shopping the same day. It usually takes me about 2 to 3 hours, but then you have all of the meals for your whole entire week complete. Completely planned out. So there's no more thinking about, oh my goodness, I have 3 minutes. What am I going to make for dinner tonight? Then every night you either pop it in the oven, you warm it up on the stovetop, and you have a delicious, healthy meal prepared for your family, and it makes you feel like superwoman. One of my favorite parts was usually it includes like a big salad or something. So if the salad's made and it's in the refrigerator, I will eat salad. It's amazing. It's magical. It's like a magic trick. Put salad already tossed and I'll eat it. So let PrepDish do the planning for you so you no longer have to think about meals. We would love you guys to try it out. You can visit PrepDish.com/SK, and the founder, Allison, is offering a free 2-week trial for all of our listeners to try it out, guys. It's a no-brainer. Go to PrepDish.com/SK and try it out for yourself. FreshBooks has features for you and your team like invoicing, tracking your expenses, time tracking, estimates, payments, reporting, and mobile options. Guys, I promise this will keep everything in the accounting, bookkeeping world of your brain in one place. If you're not using some type of accounting bookkeeping software and everything's just on random documents on your desktop, you need to try it out. They also have award-winning customer service, and they're amazingly helpful, so they don't have the attitudes that sometimes people who are great with numbers have with people who aren't as great with numbers. Not that I would know anybody like that out there. I don't know. I mean, you can guess who I'm talking about, but it's not anybody that I know. FreshBooks is offering our listeners a 30-day unrestricted free trial. So to claim it, just go to freshbooks.com/SK and enter the code Shaylee and Katie in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Hey guys, welcome back to Shaylee and Katie, the podcast. I am so excited about our guest today. It is Ash Parsons of We Are the Parsons Photographers. She is amazing. She is going to talk about her 2 years off of social media. She took 2 years off, logged off of everything. She does talk about it in her own podcast, The Boredom Experiment. And then she came back on. And there is so much content in this episode. Shaylee and I were on bated breath, just eating up every word, that we have decided to go ahead and split it into two parts because, frankly, we think you need it. You need to pause after the first part, let it all sink in, think about it for a bit, and then we'll come back the following week with the second part. It's good stuff. You're gonna need to simmer. So Ash Parsons is a photographer. She was voted the top 10 photographers in the world. That's her real award, in the world. She's amazing. She's been married for 16 years to Jeremy Parsons, the other half of that photography duo. She's got 3 boys, Micah, Tyler, and Zion. So all the way from Kansas City, let's clap in Ash Parsons. Ladies and gentlemen.
We're Skyping with her today, and dare I say she looks lovely.
We're going to cover all kinds of topics, but before we do, we have to, of course, thank our last sponsor for this episode.
Right, right.
This episode is brought to you by Handwritten Letters. Handwritten Letters! She just got so excited.
I know.
Excited.
She did get excited. It was ironic.
I know. It matched up really well.
It did.
Those are my jam, you guys. Those are my literal jam.
They're your literal jam. And, you know, people don't do it anymore. So they needed to jump on our bandwagon to get them mm-hmm. back in the mix. Mm-hmm. So we are contractually obligated to handwrittenletters.com.
It's an internet company. .org. I think it's nonprofit.
to come up with some taglines. So okay. Here we go.
Okay.
Handwritten letters. My fingers hurt.
Ow.
I don't remember how to do this. Autocorrect isn't working.
Oh,
I have to erase.
She's an old person, a very old person.
I'd become an old person.
But they do remember how to do that because they're old, right?
Oh, good point. Mm.
Handwritten letters. Remember when I could spell better?
Oh, I do.
Oh,
handwritten letters. You have to draw emojis.
Right.
It's very time consuming.
Handwritten letters, if you're drawing emojis, you're doing it wrong.
You're doing it wrong. Right. You have to express yourself. Ash, do you ever write words. Letters?
I am a professional pen pal.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do you get paid? Do you get paid to be a pen pal?
Just from the joys of being alive.
Oh, yeah. No, that counts.
That's how Handwritten Letters is paying us for the sponsorship as
joy.
Well as joy.
That's true. That's their favorite currency. Mm-hmm. That and cramps.
Yeah. And I do get paid in, like, you know, that gummy, tacky stuff on the envelope every time I lick it.
Mm, yeah.
There's like a little bit of a something happens chemically. It's good.
Yes, totally. A little high.
It's a good high.
A contact high from the envelope. From all the licking.
That went terribly wrong in a Seinfeld episode once. Oh, man. Thanks, handwritten letters. True story, Ash really does write letters. So we can have you talk about some of that as well. But we knew you'd enjoy that one because you're the last person who does it.
That made me so happy.
She just writes letters to herself at this point.
Yes.
No one reciprocates.
Okay, so, Ash, I feel like I'm so ready. I'm, like, going to pop some popcorn and just listen. We know that you decided to log off of social media completely. All of it.
Everything.
It was going to be a year. It lasted a little longer than that. Can you talk us through just some of the things that made you decide to do that in the first place and how it went?
Yeah, it started as a 2-week kind of forced experiment. We were going on spring break with our kids a few years ago, and especially Instagram usage. I think Instagram has been my kryptonite. It's like special ordered for all of my needs, you know, but like the ones that turn into really ugly things inside of me, like the love me need and the love me more than you love everyone else need and the creativity meets connection meets being able to watch my numbers, like my numerical influence or success grow, all that in one place. It was just like, oh yeah, let's get gross here. And after a few years of that, of living in that, I would say after a few weeks, it was the first thing I woke up to, the last thing I did before I went to bed. And it, you know, after a few years, it was pretty all-consuming, and not in a like drama queen way. It was truly all-consuming for me. I thought about it. I thought about other people's lives while I was on a date with my husband. I thought about what my next caption or photo or thing was going to be that I would share, and I would kind of measure the worth of that thing in my mind, and I'd turn it over and it, you know, kind of pull it apart and inspect it and write it out, rewrite it out. I just kind of got into the dance monkey dance routine pretty easily. And so by the end, by the time we went on this spring break vacation, where this choice was kind of thrust upon me, I think I was, my joy was deteriorating faster than I could gain followers. And I started to really, you know, that's how whatever they say an addiction is, that's how it works, right? Like the things that used to work don't work anymore and you need more of the working thing. And so we kind of were given this really special tiny little cabin, or I guess it's a cottage. It's in this frontier town in the mountains of Colorado. Some of our family owns it, and it was furnished and vacant. And they said, hey, come to this little town for your spring break. We know you need a break. And life had been crazy. Jeremy and I had been traveling a lot all over the world. Our kids were home a lot without us. And when they were home with us, you know, I was so far down the Instagram rabbit hole that my mind was always spinning somewhere else when I was with them, even if I didn't have the phone in my hand. I almost always had it on my person, touching me more than I touched anyone or anything else. And so they said, you can come and use our place and climb mountains and walk around this tiny little town. And we said, that's great. And they said, and there's no internet and cell phones don't work here.
Then what's the point?
No one's going to see it.
Yeah. Right? Like Instagram or it never happened. And that's when I ceased to exist. No. The end. Thanks for having me, guys. So we jumped at it because we were hungry for it, you know. And I don't know. I think that sometimes God and the universe and the Holy Spirit and fate all, like, sit down and form a very, like, Dwight and Jim from The Office alliance where they're like, let's make a pact and let's impose this thing upon her. Like, let's do this thing to her that she can't help but be changed. The whole trajectory of her life will change because we intervened. And I needed that because I'm a really slow learner and I'm very hard-headed. And I do think that I am the smartest, wisest, realest person in the world. And so I get in my own way very frequently. And so, unfortunately, things have to sometimes happen to me for me to just get it. So, sad traits in Ashley. Let's call this episode that. So we did it. We logged off. And of course, because, you know, when you have however many followers, you think you're famous. Even if you, like, have 100, you're like, to all my readers, I bid thee farewell. 'Twill be a fortnight before I return. You know, I head into the wild blue yonder. You know, I got all dramatic about it and was like, this is, look what we're doing for 2 freaking weeks. Oh, you'll miss me. I know. And I'll miss you, but we're all going to be okay. You know, what on earth? I mean, just, I look back at some of the things I used to post and just go, wow, aren't we?
The people will be asking.
Yes. Aren't we God's gift to the people? How many people are on the planet right now? Like, let's get a reality check here, Ash. So, yeah, we had to do the sign-off thing because I'm apparently Reese Witherspoon. And then we went. We went over the mountains and through the woods and hours from the nearest Target or Walmart or anything that looks like civilization and into the valley of this town that rests between 2 mountain ranges. And, you know, right away, it's very clear, like, there's the Amish bakery, there's the library, there's the pub, there's a cowboy riding his effing horse down the effing main street. Like, where am I? And, you know, there's a little movie theater and they show movies once a month, 1 weekend a month.
Love it.
You know, I mean, those are hot nights. And then we found our little cottage and we settled in and we turned the phones off because they didn't work. And we just started to learn how to be people again. And this whole thing of being a person, it turns out, is a really big gift. And it's a really fast gift. You know, we open it the second we breathe air for the first time instead of amniotic fluid. And then we just keep opening it most of the time without realizing we're opening and we're opening and we're opening. And then it's done. And I think it's really easy for me personally. And I have to be careful because a friend recently told me that when I'm prescriptive, universally, I'm really annoying. So he was like, just stick to your own story because that's all you've got. So thank you for that. It's the truth. So for me personally, it's really easy for me to forget what it means to be a person. And what it means to be here. And just like that, it's done. So we talked and we read a lot of books because that's what was there. And we played games. We played Farkle. Farkle is God's gift to those with no social media. it's like dice. Yeah, I don't know. we spent a lot of time listening to each other and to our children and to ourselves. And I think I didn't realize it, but in those few years where I just picked up steam on social media, I had forgotten how to be alone without being a lonely person. And I had forgotten how to sit in quiet without feeling like a bored person and feeling like that quiet was trying to kill me. Like literally, you know, I mean, think about it. At least for me, every red light, every number two on the pot, every like waiting in line at the grocery store or Target with, you know, once again, it's like, why did I pick the 95-year-old man who checks everyone out so slowly? Oh, well, I've got Instagram. And yeah, it's just, it's easy to forget how to be a person. So 2 weeks turned into let's do this for a year and let's kind of like, let's explore what this has done to us and let's explore who we are and let's do it together as a family on a podcast, which like just disclaimer was just a really fun experiment. It's also like audio proof of a learning curve because we'd never done that before. So the sound is awful and it's all messy. And it's like kids with markers for the first time. It's like, how'd it get all over my face? You know? But it's fun and you love the kid and you're like, well, you have a mustache and you do look like Hitler, but I still love you. So that was the first podcast.
We've both listened to it, by the way, in full, and I will
listened
say,
to it twice.
It is very enjoyable, and I did not feel like you had a Hitler mustache.
No, so there's no audio Hitler mustache.
Thank you. No, not at all.
That's very
good.
That's very kind. I learned a lot. We all did, and it was also haphazard and infrequent. And I think if you listen to it right now, the very last episode is like, we're gone forever, and I'm back on, and so is Jeremy now. So, LOL.
spoiler alert. Yeah.
So the 1 year turned into 2 years, and the 2 years turned into a little bit more. And to say what happened in those 2 years is really difficult. Like, it can't really be paraphrased. I wrote all of it down. I wrote every day. I think mostly just to try and find myself again in a really not college girl way, which sounds very college girl. But I had to give my soul a chance to catch up to my body because the way I was living had really dismembered me as a person. And so it took a long time for those two things to become wedded again. And then once they were, it was like this freakish euphoria, like thawing out after being cryogenically frozen. Like, holy Moses, the sunset and birds sing. I have church bells in my neighborhood. I never heard the church bell, you know. It was this weird awakening of really small gifts. And the greatest gift of all was relearning my own inside self. Learning who she was and how to listen to her and that she's trying to say things and that she's always there in a lot of different weird forms. But if I just sit all of us down at a meal, we can say a prayer and then we can, you know, we can talk to the one of us that doesn't eat enough but also like hides a sleeve of Ritz crackers in her bedside table. We can be like, no, eat this meal with us. And we can talk to the one of me that's really critical and really mean and judgmental of other people and be like, no, you're safe and you're loved and we're all here. Eat this meal with us. And I started to bring all of me to the table with me, you know, for the first time in a very long time. And it all felt really new. And everything felt new. Eye contact felt new. Conversations and writing people and calling people and all of it felt new. And I think the first few months off of social media, I probably sent 75 text messages. I wish I wasn't exaggerating. That all started with, hey, I'm really sorry I never responded to your last message. You know, and fill in the blank. 3 weeks ago, 7 weeks ago, 2 years ago. Truly, those few years down deep in that cave, I just became so wrapped up in the dance monkey dance of it all that I didn't write people back and I didn't do my laundry. And so, you know, luckily there was always, like, I think as you guys have said, there was always that one corner where it's like, there's a plant and there's some nice things and I'll put a kid in there and take a picture. And then say something really pithy about being here, even though I haven't had time to figure out how to accept my own life, my own death, my own story, and own my minutes, right? Two plus years turned into a decision to come back, first for me, and then really recently, almost 3 years later, for my husband. So a lot happened.
Yeah.
A lot happened. And it was good.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So what made you decide to come back?
Yeah, I decided to start doing a lot of nude yoga videos. I'm just kidding.
I was going to say, I did not
that's
catch
cool.
those.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Sure.
So Instagram actually kicked her off, is what we're learning. She didn't remove herself. She was, everything came together and then you kicked her off
you
of Instagram.
You should see my handstand.
Everything goes right back where it should be.
It really does. It really does. No. You can cut that.
No, I will not cut that.
No, that ever. Will be in there.
Please tell me that a lot of this gets cut because that's really crucial.
No. Nope. You're so good.
Nope.
Yeah, I decided to come back for for a few reasons, but I guess like the deepest one is I really do try to listen to what my kind of the like marriage of my gut and my heart and my mind and my inside self, my soul, the directions that they pull me in. And I, you know, in Ignatian spirituality, there are these concepts of consolation and desolation, and that the divine uses consolation, which is you're drawn to something and you feel that when you think of it, when you imagine it, when you engage in it, you do feel a peace coming back to you in the idea of engaging in it. And desolation is the opposite. It's desolation. I feel desolate. I feel empty. When I picture this, when I think about this, I feel empty. And there's a no or a closed door. And the more I thought about it over the course of those years, and especially as the 2 year mark passed, the idea of going back just had consolation for me. I'd been challenged along the way by friends saying, hey, this is where everyone is. And this is where we're all hanging out here, you know, and we really want you to be a part of the conversation because we think what you're saying matters. And if you don't ever come down from the mountain, no one's ever going to hear what happened on the mountain. And that's true to a point. And it's also true that for me, knowing myself, I need a considerable amount of time on the mountain, period. The mountain needs to be where I live. And the coming down needs to be really regulated and infrequent and purpose-filled. Otherwise, I'm going to lose myself. And not just in like a hypothetical way, I will lose my life to it because I so badly want to wrap up my identity and my joy and my love and my purpose in the approval of others. And Instagram is a really great place to do that.
I'm getting chill bumps. I know. You said lose your life, and at first you're like, lose your life. Well, I'm losing my life.
Yeah.
I'm losing my whole life.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if I would have kept going the way I was going, I mean, you can only feel so lonely while being surrounded by so many digital eyeballs before you think about leaving the planet. So, and I don't think I'm the only one who had gone through that strange feeling of, this is odd. I have all these people to talk to, all these people following me, all these people who say they look up to me and want to be my friend and like my kids and like my life and that one corner of my house that I clean. And and yet I'm sad. So then you start to feel guilty for being sad. You start to feel shame for the very natural human condition of being sad. And so then where do I share the fact that I'm sad about the fact that I'm sad about the fact that all these people like me? It just, right? Like,
but I'm still lonely.
But right, I'm still right. Alone. I'm still sitting in a room by myself and I haven't showered today. You know, I just washed my armpits with some hand soap.
It's halfway there.
Right?
Like, so, okay. So when you said live on the mountain, but come down from it in like a guarded way to where you don't get lost in it, what have you found? And I know that I don't know how exactly long you've been back on, but what practical tools have you found help you do that?
Yeah, I found that, I have to carve out some rules and some guidelines. You know, I am a huge, I hate the idea of balance, life, work balance, I don't know, digital, analog balance. I think that's all a Ponzi scheme. I really believe that before I quit social media, I was trying to live a balanced life. And what that meant is, you know, essentially the most anxiety producing life possible, where I'm trying to spin a whole lot of plates and I'm always aware that every single one of them's about to fall because I can't spin any one plate really well. Like yet again, stuck in this human condition, right? And so yeah, I think that the idea of balance is a unicorn and is something that allows us to feel okay about being human, and we can talk about it all we want, but the practice is, it's really anxiety producing for me. And so I had to learn boundaries. I had to learn that there are things that are okay and things that are not okay, and all of those things have a time. And I had to start to view my life, physically view it in my mind as plots of land, that I would draw physical boundaries around those plots. And I also had to realize that in order to cultivate those plots, I had limited resources every day. The energy, the wit, the, you know, whatever kind of mental health or emotional stability or spiritual prowess or humor I came into that day, it was all limited. And it was, it had an expiration date of the end of that day. And once I had used up those resources, they were gone. And so once I used up the extrovert connection, people person resource, sometimes that was gone by the time my kids got home from school, right? And when I used up the creativity, writing, dreaming, thinking, being, sharing thing on Instagram, then that was gone for the me who wanted to sit down and write the book that I've been saying to myself I was going to write for 4 years and can't bring. Why can't I write the book? I don't know, but I write real good Instagram, you know, like follow me. You know, why can't I dive into that personal project with that film camera that's sitting right over there on that desk? Well, because I own a camera phone and it's easy and it's fast. And I know the rules now. I know how to get you to like me more based on what I take and what I post and what I say about it. And so I was using up all of these limited resources very, very quickly on I was a really cheap date. Let's put it that way. I was a really cheap date. And so by the end of the day, I would have a lot of immediate tiny things to show for that day. But like those deep rivers into what do I want to be known about me when I'm 70? What are my kids going to write on my headstone? I don't know. She did Instagram kind of okay, pretty good. Love you, Mom.
Here lies
peace out.
Here lies love at
you.
Ashford.
Love you, Mom.
Right? Here lies Ashford. And then there would be at like Ashford. Just really
at Ashford. It'd just be your Instagram handle.
Right. It would be my Instagram handle. And then there would be like an annoying carving in granite of all three of my sons dabbing. Because I don't know why. That's the new thing. I'm like, you're trying to kill Mommy. Mommy is dying because you're doing the thing all the other kids are doing. Like, can't we just go against the grain and not dab? How hard is it?
just one picture. Let's try not doing it. So, okay, question, because you kind of are being really nice about being like, I don't know, like 100 followers, but at the height of it, not that it matters, but how many followers were you ranging when you were like in the world of going crazy?
Yeah, I think I was in the fours, maybe the 5,000s. I'm still in the 5,000s. And it's funny because while I was off of Instagram, I have this curse of always viewing myself in like a caste system. And I think it results from like growing up a really poor girl, like didn't know I was poor because I was in Africa. So I guess in Africa I was actually rich. But then came back to the States and it was like, no, we're poor. Your dad doesn't make a lot of money. I didn't want for anything. My parents, my goodness, we had a beautiful experience of being alive. But I did start to kind of rate myself really early on with my peers. And I don't know, maybe everyone does that. But I thought about how much money their parents were making or how straight their teeth were or the fact that their thighs didn't come in early or at all. And I was always kind of rating where am I in this caste system. And I was never the top tier. And so, but I've always been friends with top tier people.
Right? Uh-huh. 1 degree from the top tier. You're in the circle.
I'm in the semi-circle. You know, I'm like 2 degrees from the top tier. And and so I've always compared myself to those people. So I have a lot of friends who are top tier when it comes to Instagram, and they're influencers or they're Insta famous or they're, you know, getting paid like a whole lot of money to share about plant food, you know? And to each their own, like, my goodness, if someone offered me thousands of dollars to talk about something, goodness, I would find a way to care about that thing, right? Like,
this plant food is the best plant food you've ever seen.
I eat it myself. I'm like literally decided to turn into a plant. I love it so effing much.
I sprouted a leaf.
Exactly. No judgment there, because look, we're all just trying to figure out how we're going to pay the taxes and get our kids braces. I get it. I talked to a friend who was a kind of a top tier friend, and while I was off of Instagram, and she said, you know, you're not even missing out on anything. I mean, it's all, and she's very active on the community, which was funny. It's all the same thing. Everyone's just doing the same thing now. There's nothing special about it. And besides, it's like, you can have 100,000 followers. You're nothing if you have 100,000 followers. That's not a big deal. And I remember being like, oh man, the first time I got 10 likes, I think I did a happy dance. Like, a how far have we fallen where, you know, even if I do come back, which I did, I don't anticipate ever getting to 100,000 followers. And also, like, 4,000 or 5,000, that's still like a small town, right? Like,
right. Well, right. If you filled an auditorium with 5,000 people,
oh my gosh,
that's a ton of people.
Exactly. And then you say, people, hey guys, this is my lunch.
Right.
Hey guys.
Right.
And then 30 get up and leave in the middle of your show. And you're like, oh.
You're like, I'm just kidding. Right. Here's my corner. Here's my corner.
And like 1,700 of them have been given like earplugs and blindfolds because of the algorithm. So it's like, oh, right. Thanks, algorithm. Them, you know, but, yeah, but they're still kind of there, and you're like looking
they're
at them,
there,
but they can't
physically
see you.
There. They count in the attendance, overarching attendance.
Right.
They're just not listening or hearing
exactly
anything
that, like, when you need to feel good about yourself, you just tell yourself that they still care. You know, they still love me.
They walked their warm body through the door. It's like a church. They're like, we're counting the kids of the pastor, right?
Exactly. That's our. We're counting the babies in womb.
Right. Yes. They count. Two people.
Yeah.
So I love the visualization of the plots and the resources by the end of the day. But is it something you, I mean, is it measurable? Is it something you feel like I can't give Instagram my first, or how do you do it?
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of ground rules. And of course, because I learn the hard way, I break them sometimes, but you know, there is a commitment that, I am the one who invites my phone into my life. You know, we had this discussion before we started to have babies, and when our friends were like, oh, I don't want to have kids because they just run your life. Well, no, you are the one who invites your children repeatedly into your life. Or you don't. And if you don't, then my goodness, they are going to find a way. You know, they're like that hangnail where you're like, fine, I'll look at you. Let's get out some clippers and deal with this. And I love my children dearly with all of my freaking heart. I love them so much. But, you know, so I guess I just had to decide that this thing that's, you know, made of metal and glass, that is what it is. It is an electronic device made by people who do not know me and will never be able to love me. And so if I start there, if I start by identifying what the object is first, because, you know, it's so responsive and now it reads my fingerprint. So we are in the future and this is the end times, right? Like, JK about the end times, but seriously, maybe.
Interface. Your face. It reads your face. That's not creepy.
Right, right. Yeah. I don't have that fancy one yet. I have the fingerprint one. It's so scary. So it responds as though it's alive, and the people who designed it are really smart and really intuitive, and they know that we're vulnerable creatures. They know that the conversations that we've been having up to this point have been human conversations, face-to-face, voice-to-voice, reacting to body language and body temperature and respiratory rate without even knowing it. They know that we are meaning-seeking creatures and that we're incredibly vulnerable, you know? And so I think it's important to remember all of that from the get-go, because it's so easy to go into this autopilot mode and just, I don't know, except that because my phone, when it opens the apps, kind of opens, like it opens its arms wide to me, like, give us a hug, you know? And to assume that when my son writes me a text and he's out with his dad and I tell him we need something from the store and he writes me back and says, okay, love you. That feels like a kiss on the cheek from him, you know? All of these things are very intuitive and smart and designed on purpose to do something, to conjure a response. Otherwise, we wouldn't keep going back. But I have to start at square one, that this is a thing. This is an object. And all of the things inside of this object are, these are programs designed by programmers to have a certain purpose and to be a tool, and a really helpful tool, right? Like, that text message still feels like $1,000,000. And I did screenshot it and I will look at it you know, in 4 years when he goes to college and just sit here and ugly cry and be like, he loved me. You know, my life is over. And the two remaining sons in the house will be like, thanks.
Thanks, Mom.
Appreciate you.
She's
too,
on Instagram,
Mom.
Again. Right.
You know, so yeah, I'm rambling, but it starts with putting the phone in its place and leaving it there, and then deciding that there are boundaries. Okay, phone, you know, you're not going to be the first thing in my day. You're not going to be the last thing in my day. I'm not going to let you be touching my person unless I've left the house and you need to be touching my person. You know, I'm in a really interesting situation because our youngest son is 6 and he's in kindergarten, and he has a lot of medical health issues. He was born 3 months premature, and that's just a whole other story. But he's been having a lot of seizures this year, and when he has these seizures, a lot of the time afterwards, he stops breathing. He goes unconscious, he stops breathing. Sometimes his heart stops, and I've had to do CPR on the way to the hospital, and it's this whole thing. So I am in some way really obligated to have my phone ringer on and to have my phone near me all the time. Because if the school calls and it's happened again, I've got to rush over there, you know? So that is the one, that's the one fascinating thing that almost feels like this thorn in my side. Like, why'd you do this to me, God? You know, I'm trying to be the good girl that doesn't wear her phone, that doesn't look at her phone, that doesn't care about her phone. And every time it rings, I hope my son's still alive. So, and I don't think that's on accident. I'm not saying that to complain. I think that that's on purpose because I get to choose, you know? This is not an addiction that I have with this object. This is an outworking of being human. And all the things that I struggle with as a human, I take to this object every time I pick it up. And all the things that I'm longing for the most as a human, I try and squeeze out of this object every time I pick it up, and it can't give me what I want, and I'm realizing that. Excuse me. So yeah, I wake up to my beloveds, you know. I wake up to the people in my home, and we touch one another and we hold one another, and the phone is not invited there, and we sit and we have meal times and the phone is not invited into the dining room, and we go to the park and the phone is not invited there. And we, you know, there are just boundaries. There are zones where I get to decide how present I'm going to be to this life. I get to decide how awake I want to be while I'm living it, because snap your fingers and it's gone. So yeah, there are a lot of logistical like rules and boundaries surrounding where the phone can and can't go. You know, it doesn't go on date night. It does, you know, like our master bedroom is not a place for social media. It's a place, you know, it's our den of love baking. Yeah.
Yeah. Naked yoga,
yeah. Den of love,
den of yoga handstands. We get really creative.
Oh my!
No, not a chance.
I was gonna like add to that though that we're talking a lot about like social media, but to me as a small business owner, like my emails, I'm checking and refreshing more than
I know
even Instagram, and so it's almost like I go through my Facebook, Instagram, both accounts, mm-hmm. and then
email. I know.
Refresh, refresh, refresh. And it's like every hour, even if I'm not spending times, I just have to like just check in to make sure like nothing's okay. And then first thing in the morning, you know, I don't like roll over in bed and look at it, but my phone's my alarm clock. And then, you know, it's like, because what's my other option? Like an actual alarm clock? I don't know.
I would have to like go to the store and it takes like 10 minutes. Clock.
Yes, you would. Right? It is so and ghetto and it's so wonderful.
No, but that's, I mean... But it's so true about just the device in general. And then where it is and isn't invited, I think that's healthy just as a small business owner to turn work off. Because I think social media aside, it's so easy to be working all of the time. When I get that email, within 30 seconds of it being sent, it pushes to my phone and I hear it and I'm playing with my daughter. But now I'm like, work email, I need to take care of this real quick, when it could wait 6 hours until I have time to work.
Right.
So
yeah, there
or indefinitely if you're me.
Yeah. There are a lot of reasons not to take your life seriously, and your phone will give you more reasons. You know, I think that's kind of the sadness of the immediacy of these tools and these apps is they tell us to take them so seriously, and then in the meantime and in the process, we kind of lose our lives. We lose the perspective of being here, and so, yeah. The email is, that was tricky for me too, because it's so tempting to bring work into spaces that, you know, my kid has a team of doctors that are just incredible, incredible minds at the Children's Hospital. But like his neurosurgeon and his neurologist, even though they're trying to keep him literally alive and figure out what's going on, they don't take us into their bedroom with them.
Yeah.
They don't.
Yeah.
They don't take us on their dates. Yeah. They don't take us on their vacations. They don't take us into the bathroom. That would be awkward. Male and female. You know, it would be like, I don't know what you guys are trying to accomplish here. What's the plan? You know, now we're all in this bathroom. Are you peeing? Oh, you're going number two. Cool. Oh, and it's like a marker. You keep wiping and wiping and wiping.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, like, can we just be honest about, like, let's get some perspective. I am not in charge of doing brain surgery on a 6-year-old, okay? When I was so engrossed in email land, you know, it was for our photography business. Like, come on, y'all. Like, right? Not going to save anyone with that camera, and not going to save anyone's life by getting to those emails faster. Like, yes, it is nice to get an email that someone's going to book and you're going to make money and you know you're going to feed your family that month because you're self-employed, and that is a struggle. But my goodness, if you boundary your time wisely, it can wait. And if you don't, you know, I think what I'm waking up to is I have a 14-year-old now. And Jeremy and I are in July celebrating 17 years of marriage. There's a lot of stuff that you think can wait that can't. That time pushing your kid on the swing at the park while they have nothing else to pay attention to but you and the squirrel and the sky, your phone can wait. And they aren't going to. And I don't know why it takes brain cancer or bad news for us to wake up and go, holy Moses, we're all dying here. Every single one of us is marching daily towards dying here. There is a reason why gravity is pulling my breasts into tube socks. Right? Let's be honest, right? These wrinkles around my eyes, I swear they weren't there a year ago. I swear it. I might be dying here. And, you know, I've had enough encounters, close encounters, face-to-face with death and loss, and those are ongoing for me, that, you know, I guess we just don't really have time for the phone at the park with the kid. You know, Anne Lamott talks about having conversations. She's just the best writer of all time. And I call her my fairy godmother. She hasn't given me permission, but I call her that anyways. Jeremy was like, try and explain to me, why is she your fairy godmother? And I said, because she turns all the pumpkins into carriages for me. It's like, I don't know if that's helping. So she talks about losing her dearest, dearest friend to cancer, Pammy, she called her. And there was this interaction that they had at the very end of Pammy's life where Anne's gotten dressed for an event and she looks at her best friend and she says, does this dress make me look fat? And Pammy says something like, oh, Annie, we just don't have time for that anymore.
So good.
You know, I just think that's a reality with Instagram, with these computer phone, camera phone things that we carry in our pockets. Like, yeah, we could wake up and check email, go to bed and check Instagram, check how that post is performing, pull our phones out at our date night and forget to talk to our husbands about who they're becoming because we're always becoming someone. We could do that. I just don't have time for that anymore. And unfortunately, neither does anyone else. It's just sometimes takes some hard knocks to wake up to that.
Yeah. Right. Katie here. Like we said, there's a lot here. So we are going to go ahead and pause there for this week. And we'll pick back up next week with the rest of her interview.
You just changed my pumpkin into a carrot. You're our pumpkin carrot. You're our fairy godmother.
You're my fairy godmother. Do I have your permission?
Shaylee and Katie, the podcast was recorded in Springfield, Missouri. Thank you guys so much for listening. We love hearing from you on Instagram, emails, and especially iTunes reviews. Reviews help others hear about the podcast, and we read every single one. We also really appreciate you guys who share the podcast with your friends on social media. If you want to reach out, you can contact us at shayleeandkatie@gmail.com, or you can find us at shayleeandkatie.com. We couldn't do it without you, and we love you.